This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo, what's up, my friend?
Yo, how are you?
I'm great, you?
I'm good, yeah.
You have a good weekend?
Yeah, I was busy, but it was good. How about you?
Yeah, no problem. Busy, a lot of baseball, but, you know,
yeah,
all good.
Good, 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 good. Won some money.
I did. I told you we got to that. We had they won two in a row.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you reminded me, by the way, whenever you texted me. Was that Saturday?
Yeah, I was like, hey, you got to triple it.
Because I hadn't looked. Like I said, I was kind of busy, and then you texted me. Luckily, in that moment, I was in Kansas, but then I forget when I'm in Missouri. If I'm going to do this, you know, you're betting essentially every day on the White Sox to lose.
Yeah, every day they play,
I think
sure.
People know that that's our bet now. But if I'm sitting at the house on Sunday and I know, okay, I got to bet for tomorrow, I have to drive to Kansas still to do it, which is a pain in the ass. And I heard that, because I'm like, Missouri voted on this. When can I just do this here? But someone was telling me this weekend that it's going to take until December for Missouri to actually get that going.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that's true or not, but he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, so I don't know. I did see Laszlo. Hmm. A buddy of mine, that Neanderthal guy who does the podcast, I did his podcast, I don't know, a couple years ago or whatever. Super okay. Nice guy, but he sent me a screenshot. He's been doing the White Sox bet.
Oh, really?
He bet a lot of money. I'll have to show you, but he bet a lot of money. And on one game for them to lose, and he ended up winning like $600.
Yeah,
and you can imagine how much it takes to win $600. There's a lot of money on the line. He was like, mm-hmm. Dude, I've never been so scared in my life. I'm like, well.
And it worked, right?
And it did work. It did work. But, you know, they are going to win occasionally. So if you're putting big money on a game like that.
Just remember, you got to double down on it.
Right. And it's like, if you're going to bet $1,500, well, can you bet $3,000
tomorrow?
Yeah,
because like that tournament, I had to do 80.
Yeah.
I had to put 80 on them.
Right, right. Okay.
To lose. But, you know, the Red Sox. One.
Yeah, so it's okay.
A guy had like a no-hitter going into the eighth or something, so it was easy.
It's that thing you know you'll be okay.
Yeah,
so
just
it's,
keep putting it up, you're fine.
It's fine. It has gotten me kind of in the gambling mindset, though. Like during the NFL season, you know, you're looking at your phone a lot, checking to see who's won, and you're just looking to go, Should I bet $10? What should I bet on? You know, and of course, last year we won money with our boss just predicting who's going to win NASCAR races. So there's part of me wanting to text him like, "Hey, is NASCAR going on?"
I think it is. Right?
It is. Yeah, I saw it on the app. So it's like, "Hey, tell us who's going
to
win." Like,
yeah, we need to do that.
We need to know that stuff. This is going to be the year. This is going to be the year for us, right? We're going to win big money.
I can feel it.
Well, if I'm consistent, I should at least be up on this White Sox thing, right?
Oh, yeah. If you're doing, yeah, you'll be $1,200 by the end of the year.
I'm betting small increments, so I should be, yeah, I should
be fine.
I should be fine. I'll tell you, this weekend, long story, I kicked out of the MLB app. I was having problems with it, and I looked at that. It's FanDuel now, right?
Yeah.
The Royals, and it had, like, the picture of Bobby Witt or whatever, and said, get all your teams. And it's like Oklahoma City, the St. Louis Blues, Thunder,
yeah.
The Blues, and the Royals. And then it said what it was. I don't know. It's like maybe $189 a year or something. Lazo, I came real close. I'm still thinking about it. Like, is that so bad? I don't know.
For every Royals game, no.
For every, I watch all the highlights anyway. It would be nice to
just have it on.
Just be able to turn it on when I want. And then really? I was thinking, well, maybe Lazo will buy it.
It won't let us
like
do it, though. Remember last time I tried to do that with a buddy of mine? I kept logging the other person out.
I know. That was the thing, because we'd like to have it. If I buy it, I'd like to be able to watch it here at work. But then that means every time I do it, it's going to log me out at home.
Unless FanDuel made the app better, but I don't know.
I heard it's basically the same, but I don't know. What'd you do this weekend?
I told you, just baseball, crap.
That's
it? Hanging out with my kids, yeah.
Kids are good?
Everybody seems to be fine.
No problems. Well, that's good to hear. My mom finished her chemo. She got to ring the bell.
Oh, so that's great. And then, luckily enough, I went over later and rung her bell again.
That's why, yeah, that's what she was telling me. So, yeah, good. Thank you.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Well.
What?
Did you hear about Kelsey getting into it with Kanye?
No.
I didn't know about it till today. I'm not very
up on
pop culture. Ours, Travis.
Oh, because I saw Kanye said that Justin Bieber and somebody else double-teamed Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, check back here for more facts or something.
Yeah.
And I read it, and I was like, man, I don't know that you should. Well, I don't know why you would post that.
No, but that's
but
everything
I believe
posts.
It.
You do?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't think it was. I know Travis Kelce get mad or whatever. I was like, I would imagine they hang out in the same circles. They're young people. Like, why would I think this didn't? Like, of course. Well, okay. you think it's impossible?
Well, no. It's just funny that that's your reaction, because I honestly thought that you were going to get mad at me when I said, you know, there was part of me that thought it's possible. That's all I was going to say, and I thought you would get mad. I don't mean Kanye tweets so much nonsense that there's no reason for me to believe him. So, and Taylor sent him a cease and desist letter. I don't know if that's more evident. I mean, I think someone said it's you know, this is beyond, so he's done the...
I mean, I would have no way to know whether it's true or not. Like,
yeah,
no way.
Exactly.
Like, I have no guess. I felt like people were reacting to it in a way that was like, this is horrible and unheard of. And I'm like, well, I don't really know that it's, I guess I shouldn't say I believe that it happened. But if it did happen, it certainly, I could figure out that the three of them probably hung out plenty of times.
Right.
They're young. I don't know. Like, even if it did happen, like, I guess I didn't get, like, I get the outrage of him saying it. I don't get the outrage of her doing it. Like, who cares?
No. Of course, yeah. No, I don't.
But
that
people
wouldn't
were like,
be
you know, oh, my God, I can't believe he would say that about, I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe she did do it. It wouldn't matter to me either way.
It wouldn't matter to us. I get it. But I understand why it would matter to her.
Well, yeah,
you know, whether
course.
She did it or not, that it would be hurtful
to
her.
It's inappropriate for him to say.
Exactly.
I'm not saying
it's
that at all.
Totally,
I'm just saying, like, what, I don't know, would
just
it be that crazy
sure.
that it happened?
No, maybe not. But I'm just making sure that you do think that it's crazy to tweet or to say publicly, and he shouldn't do it. That's all. I mean, I get that you're saying it's possible, and I honestly understand, because part of me thought the same thing. Like, well, you know, exactly what you said. They do run in the same circles. These are very desirable men, Justin Bieber and Harry Styles. She's dated a lot of guys. So, yes, I get it. Part of me was like, I mean, it wouldn't be crazy if she's hooked up with one of them or both of them. I don't know. But I also know not to take anything Kanye says seriously.
Right.
Also, Travis is supposedly outraged, which is understandable.
Of course.
You just have to try to imagine you're in a relationship with someone that you really love and care about. I don't know when the last time that was for you, Lazo, but at some point you've been in a relationship with a woman that you really loved and cared about. If somebody was publicly saying, you know, making accusations that she had sex with different people. And she's saying it's not true, by the way. And she even sends a cease and desist. You, as the boyfriend, you kind of have to do something, especially when you're Travis Kelce. So I can understand why Travis is outraged. And again, this is like sources talking about it that Travis is outraged. But that's very believable, much more believable than Kanye's tweets. And that he actually said, supposedly again, allegedly, that he wants to have it out with Kanye like man to man. Which, I mean, I don't know, if we do like a Tyson, whatever that kid's name is, we start putting bets on a Kanye-Travis Kelce fight, I don't know if anybody would put money on Kanye, but I would certainly watch it. I don't think it would be much of a fight. I think Travis would have him. I also wonder, too, if you're Travis and you're actually this outraged, if you were to encounter Kanye somewhere in public...
Then you'd have to hit him.
Then you have to now hit him, which is a huge deal, because Kanye is a very wealthy, massive celebrity, as are you, you know... But now there's going to be legal consequences.
Yeah, I don't know. You feel like you have to, but maybe you don't.
He's a football player. You know what I mean? This isn't like, there's different types of guys. A lot of guys, I think, would feel like they should, or they want to, or whatever. Right. Or would even say, I'd like to have it out man-to-man.
But well, said that he wants to have words with him.
Okay, this one says he wants to have it out man-to-man. But again, that's according to a source. So, I don't know. The source said, quote, there must be consequences. West would never dare say this to Taylor's face. But again, you know, with the sources that these magazines get, I have no idea if that stuff's real or not. But it wouldn't be... I would assume that Travis is upset. If Taylor's upset, then I'm sure Travis is upset.
Yeah, you don't want anybody saying that about your girlfriend.
That's what I'm saying. If you like your girlfriend, if you're in a good relationship and they start saying that, you're going to be mad. And now you've got a big athlete, you know.
He doesn't care.
He's a man's man. What do you mean? Travis doesn't?
Kanye.
Oh, no, I know.
He doesn't care if Travis was mad.
Oh, Kanye doesn't know what's going on, I think. I mean, not to...
And really... he doesn't care. Like, oh, Travis is mad. You know, I just don't think he cares.
He's not losing any sleep over that. No.
He's just tweeting stuff at random.
No, exactly.
You know, unmedicated.
Yes.
And it is what it is. I don't know. I guess I'd be mad at him, but, you know, whatever. It wouldn't affect me.
I mean, but it would, okay, if your girlfriend is at home crying, we don't know how this is affecting her. She sends a cease and desist. I see these other women calling this sexual harassment in a very public, forum that he's making these accusations and targeting women, all that stuff. So there's a chance. I don't know, Taylor. I don't know how she's reacted to this, but there's a chance that you're at home and she's crying and she's very upset by all this because here's this big celebrity saying these ridiculous things about you. That maybe that does affect you as a boyfriend and you're like, God damn it. You know, I want to do something about this, but you're both big, prominent celebrities. If you weren't, then I think, maybe you want to go find this guy. Maybe you want to go hit him.
But, you know, I don't know. You are both big celebrities, and people say stuff about you all the time. I know it's Kanye. It almost feels like, you know, just ignore it. It's him. He posts crazy stuff all the time. Like, just be like, this guy's an idiot.
I agree. But if Kanye tweeted stuff about Travis... And said, like, you know, made accusations about Travis.
That he had a threesome with Bieber.
Yeah, whatever. Exactly. I could see Travis laughing about it on the podcast or whatever, being like, I don't know where this guy gets
his stuff. I know he's got to take care of his, but still, they're both big celebrities.
Right. I think
so. You kind of got to be like, hey, whatever, this guy's an idiot, not let it affect you, even if, you know, maybe it could, but I feel like if I was in Taylor Swift's position and Kanye tweeted something like that, I'd be like, this guy.
I get it. Yeah,
guy is an idiot.
Right, I agree. But it does sort of bring up those old feelings of, have you ever defended a woman's honor? I mean? And everyone has a story about defending a woman's honor. Now, I know Laszlo has a scar on his head. I'm looking at it right now. For defending a stranger's honor, what I want to hear about the times that there's got to be at least once that you defended a woman's honor that, you know, someone that you... if not in love with, certainly at least had a crush on, something like that. Maybe you were even just friends with. It's happened to all of us at some point.
Time I can think is that one where I, you know.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one. And we could tell that one, too, here in a minute.
Well, I don't think I've ever had this situation arise.
Really? Even in high school? Where you're like, hey, what are you saying?
No.
Oh, okay. I kind of thought it was one of those things that for a lot of guys, it's almost like a rite of passage. At some point, you think you're supposed to do it. Society tells you, like, oh, they're upsetting your woman here. She's upset. Right. And so you're now supposed to go do something about it. It's, I'm sure it's outdated, stupid, all that. I can hear people now saying, yeah, it's the patriarchy, whatever. But growing up, that's still how it was. And I felt like you were supposed to do it. So I tried once. Me.
You
didn't? Me. Yeah. I did. Okay, I will tell you this. It actually worked.
Really?
Yeah, it worked. I'm a very kind of scrawny wuss. Is that a good way to describe me?
Sure.
I'm not intimidating.
People ask me, how would you describe sometimes I've never seen. That's why those are the words.
Scrawny wuss, right?
Scrawny wuss.
And you've also said, kind of looks like a turkey at the grocery store. Not a living turkey. Well, somebody else said it. And now I can't get the thought out of my head every time I take my shirt off and get in the shower. But I'm not an intimidating guy, is what I'm saying. And I wasn't any more intimidating in high school. You were an athlete. You know what I mean? You could hold your own. You like to fight. So if the situation arose, there's plenty of times where you go, I'm sizing this guy up.
Have done it just for fun as opposed to really defending her honor.
Exactly.
I'd do it more for me than you.
Right. And because you're able to. For me, that's definitely not an option. But once I did feel like I had to. You forced my hand, right? And now I have to. And I was really scared because look at me. You know what I mean?
But it worked out.
But if you're Travis Kelce and you're a celebrity, I think it's just how you handle it publicly. He can't punch Kanye. He can't.
Well, he could.
He could. He could.
And he's not going to get in that much trouble if he does.
You don't think?
What Will Smith get in trouble? What did his brother get in trouble for breaking the phone? If he went up to Kanye and pushed him and said, talk about her again, I'll kick your ass, nothing's going to happen. He's got enough money. She's got more than enough money for them to get lawyers.
That's my thing. It just kind of depends on the person who got hit and what their response is to that, right? So it just sort of depends. I don't know. Are you still supposed to do it?
My problem with Travis, too, is that then he's probably got to deal with the NFL Players Association, NFL. A lot of stuff that goes into it for him. It's not like he's just an actor.
No.
And he's in Hollywood, and he punches Will Smith, and Will Smith is like, well, even if he went to court, they'd be like, all right, whatever.
Right, and they usually don't.
Money. Right, but now the NFL will be like, now you're in trouble, you punch somebody.
Yep.
That's assault. We're going to suspend you until the league investigates. Like, all that part, because the NFL plays cop roles so well, that now you're like, yeah.
Too much to lose.
Yeah.
It's too much to lose. If you have nothing to lose, like us, now you got a decision to make.
Well, Travis, I know you listen.
Yeah.
I mean, put me in a room with him. I'll hit him for you.
No, you could. That's great.
I'll absolutely hit him for you.
That would be amazing.
If we can find out a place where he is, just send me and I will slug him. I will hit him.
Yeah. What do they call those?
As hard as I can.
Soldiers, what do they call the armies that they pay for? The soldiers of fortune, whatever.
Yeah, right?
You could be his mercenary.
I just go out there and hit him. If I get my ass kicked, I'll hit him once.
You think there's a chance that you could get your ass kicked by
Kanye West? Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what people think, but I would. That's one where there's a lot of times you say you could take down a lot of things.
I don't know
so
about
sure.
it. Kanye West feels like he may have gotten into fights before.
He wears snowshoes. I think you've got him.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Tell us the story
I was in Virginia Beach. Leaving a bar called the Jewish Godmother.
Why were you in Virginia Beach?
I was in the military.
This was during that time?
Yeah.
Okay. You're just like, this is when you're, what do they call it?
It's on the weekend.
Docked there? Okay.
Yeah, it's on the weekend. So I'm at this bar, and I'm with some buddies of mine, and it's, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking out, and there's a giant parking lot. My car's on one side, and there's another car on the other side. And there's, scattered automobiles in between us.
Are you in your uniform?
No. I'm just a regular guy.
That would have been great if it was like Top Gun and y'all had your uniforms
no,
on.
No, I'm just a regular guy.
Okay.
So I'm walking out, and this guy is hitting this woman. Like, he's not just pushing around. Like, I see him hit her.
It's like middle of the parking lot.
Yeah, and he's pushing her. He's trying to get her into the car, And he's yelling at her, and she doesn't want to get in the car. She's crying or whatever.
Can you tell they know each other?
Tell that, this isn't a kidnapping situation. Like, they're calling each other, their names. Like, screw you, Brianna, or whatever, right? So I'm like, all right. So as I'm walking, I'm walking towards my car, and he says something in the sense of, get in the car, I'll hit you again. Something like that. And so I'm walking, and I just yell. I say, you'll do no such thing, sir.
Love that.
Right. You'll do nothing of the sort, sir.
Yeah, nothing of the sort.
You'll do nothing of the sort, fine, sir. And about that, as soon as he hears me, the guy just wants to fight somebody, clearly. As soon as he hears me, he starts walking towards me.
Is he a young guy, about the same age, maybe?
Yeah, about the same age. Okay. Probably in our 20s at the time. And he starts walking towards me, starts running towards me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, well, I have to fight this guy.
Yeah, but that's what you like to fight. So.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm like, all right, I'm not worried about it. So instead of like me running, which I think you might think I'm going to run, but I don't. I just start walking towards him.
Yeah.
And I can see she's coming behind, and he comes up, and we get into a fight.
Yeah.
And After a couple of minutes, I get him on the ground, and I'm on top of him, and I hit him, and my knees are kind of on his shoulders, right?
Yeah.
And I go to pull back to hit him again, and I black out.
Just out.
Out. And I'm like, I open my eyes, you know, it's split seconds, right?
Yeah.
Halves, whatever. I open my eyes, I'm on my back, and I see her, and she had hit me with a champagne bottle in the back of the head. So my head's busted open, and I hit my forehead on the gravel, so there's a scar I still have to this day.
Yep, yep.
And she's yelling, you know, get off him, you son of a bitch, get off of him. And I'm like, so I kind of roll over, I wipe the blood up, and he looks at me, and she looks at me, and I'm like, look, kick her ass if you want to.
Right.
I can't believe I got into this for no reason. I got my car. And at that moment, I just realized, you know, I'm not doing it again. I'm nobody's hero. Not worth it.
It's like the ultimate lesson story.
Yeah.
And it does, but that does go back to some stuff we talked about last week. Like, when do you help? When do you stay out of it? But when in one of those situations, even with your story, anyone who's heard this story, you can still feel an urgency to help, an obligation even to help. If someone is screaming for help, especially. But if you see somebody getting into it like that, you know, they need to do something. The problem is you just have to know going in that there is a chance that when you get on the ground.
Of all the things I expected, it wasn't that.
That she is going to hit you in the head with the champagne bottle. Suddenly, she's worried. Now it's because she's sounds like a victim of a bad, you know, domestic abuse sort of situation, a bad relationship. And because she's in one of those relationships, as soon as you're fighting her boyfriend, now she thinks that's her fault. Right. Oh, I'm going to get more. And she likes him better than you.
Well, yeah, I didn't really put that together. I think she was like, this is our business and you're involved in it and you should have stayed out of it. She was mad at me. She was calling me names. She wasn't.
You see it like, no, stop it, asshole. And it's like, wait a second, you were asking for help. And that's exactly what happened in this situation.
To her credit, she didn't ever ask for help. She was fighting with that guy. And then I, you know.
True.
Said whatever I said.
Yeah.
So she wasn't asking, but when he did come over, I didn't expect her to hit me. That's not what I thought.
Right. Okay.
It was going to happen.
I guess it's if she'd been screaming, help me.
No, she wasn't.
Then you're right. She wasn't actually asking for help. She just was in a bad situation where a guy was getting physical with her.
Yeah.
And you decided to help.
And I think she just thought, I'd be honest. I think this is our business.
Yeah.
And when she saw him starting to get hurt, she got mad and hit me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to happen at a bar. You know, so late at night, you see somebody, and you think, that guy's not treating her right.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this was more like, I wouldn't step in if I was like, that guy's being rude.
I know you.
That's your business.
Of course.
Like, you're dangerous. But, I did think she was in a little bit of danger. I didn't think he was going to kill her.
No.
But I did think he was going to hit her a couple more times.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought she was in danger.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to kidnap her and kill her or anything. How do I know? I don't.
Well, I just
didn't get the vibe that he had, you know, that he was going to. I just got the vibe he was going to, I hate to say it, like, just smack her around a little bit more.
I think because, I mean, you could tell that they knew each other. That's a huge part of it, too. If you thought that someone was being snatched up and put into a car late at night, then yes, you definitely, at the very least, for God's sake, take the license plate and call the cops. But, yeah, you have to help. This situation, I think because you knew that they knew each other, then it's fairly safe to assume that the odds are very low that he's taking her, that he's kidnapping her, that he's going to kill her or whatever. Right. So obviously they're in their own thing. I would assume that that's your line. Like if you ask me, where's Laszlo's line or where did it used to be? I would say that's probably the line. If he's had a few drinks, some girl's getting smacked around, that's probably going to get involved. There's a chance he might get involved.
Not anymore.
But
not anymore.
Then, like I understand that about you. I think that's a lot of people's lines. There are also, though, those people who, you know, you said you won't step in if somebody's just being rude to somebody.
No.
But we've seen it. The guys were like, hey, don't talk to her like that. And those are usually the kind of guys
that can handle some guy talking to his girlfriend?
Whatever. You don't know.
I'm just saying, it's not my girlfriend.
No. No.
Why do I care?
I know. But you see it happen.
I'm not dating them.
Do you see it happen? These guys want to be heroes. They're looking for something. Hey, don't talk to her like that. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Whether it's their girlfriend or not. And those are the kind of guys who, you know, probably like to fight.
Sure.
Decent-sized guys. And with this whole Kanye thing, I go back to, that's who Kelce is. He's a big, healthy athlete. He doesn't have to be scared of many people. You know what I mean?
There's
very few people on this earth that he would be intimidated by. So to live in his world is totally different than my world, right?
Sure.
I can't do that. If I go to someone at a bar and say, hey, don't talk to her like that, as soon as the person turns and looks at me, they're going to knock me out.
Well,
that's it.
If you did it to me, I may be like, all right, this guy must know karate or something.
That's what someone told me in high school. This guy, he got in a lot of fights. He and everyone thought he was real tough. And he thought I was like the funny guy, right? And he told me, he's like, dude, you're fine. He goes, if you ever say anything, all you do is walk up and say something. Someone who looks like you starts yelling at me, I think he's either got a gun or a thousand friends behind him or knows how to fight like nobody's business.
Legs.
He said the same thing. Yeah, he's gonna use some sort
legs.
Of MMA.
I don't like guys who use their legs.
Yeah, well, you know, people say that like, oh no, it could work. You can intimidate people. I think that best not.
The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
The news.
All right, do it.
Another plane crash? I mean, feels like it's happening a lot, but I don't know. New York, small plane crash. It's like a private jet sort of deal, and the people on board were high-achieving. They called them, one of the headlines I saw was a high-achieving family. I mean, one of the victims was this girl who was like the NCAA Woman of the Year or something like that. Yeah. So they seem like, they're the kind of people, I guess, who are on a private jet. There's some MIT people on there. I guess they're prominent figures.
A small plane crashed in upstate New York this weekend, killing all six people on board. Among the victims, a prominent Massachusetts family, Dr. Michael Groff, a neuroscientist, his wife, Dr. Joyce Ianni, and their two children. Their daughter, Corinna, a former MIT soccer player, was the 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year. During the COVID-19 pandemic, she helped create a new design for masks for essential workers. The cause of the crash still under investigation.
It's like that, you know, Hollywood, East Coast, you know, wealthy Massachusetts, whatever, that sort of area family. You know, you think about like the Kennedys sort of thing. Sure. Like just yes, we live in the same country.
But we're not the same people.
But do we really? Right. Yeah. I mean, I see pictures of where you live. It looks quite different. But, you know,
they don't know how it crashed.
It's a big place. No, they just said that it was, they gave the name of the plane, what type of plane it was. I don't know anything about planes. It was a Mitsubishi something, and then it crashed. I mean, they just released the details of the victims not terribly long ago. They were originally just saying that the small plane had crashed in Copake or something like that. But, yeah, it was this prominent family, and she was the NCAA Woman of the Year. Now, the way that they said that, the way that they said it on the Today Show, the way that they say it in the article, it sounds like they're saying that she was the NCAA Woman of the Year because she invented that mask? Is that what it sounds like to you?
Oh, well, maybe.
Or is it separate things?
I really don't know.
Anyway, another plane crash. Then that helicopter crash from the other day on Friday. Remember we talked
Spanish
about
guy in it?
Yeah, and it was like a sightseeing helicopter company in New York. So while, of course, they want to do an investigation, and during the investigation, prominent politicians and others came out and said, hey, we need you guys to not do any tours for a while we investigate. And the company just said, we're just going out of business. That's it. It's over.
Just days after that tragic helicopter crash in New York City, the FAA says the company involved in the deadly incident, New York City Helicopter Tours, is shutting down their operations immediately. This comes after some lawmakers like New York Senator Chuck Schumer asked the agency to stop the tour company from flying until the investigation is complete.
New York Helicopter Tours is under investigation, under federal investigation for these deaths.
Have you watched the video of the helicopter crash?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I feel because every time they talk about it, they show it over and over. It is so frightening. I mean, the thing falls apart, and then it just, all that's left is, I guess you call it the fuselage. That's what it would be on there.
No idea.
There's no propellers on it. There's no tail on it. It's just the body, right? And it flips upside down and just, boom, sinks straight down, upside down. Horrifying. I've only been on a helicopter twice, I think. Both times they were like these little sightseeing tours.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea of helicopters. Remember, I wanted to fly one. But I have to admit that part of why I liked it is because it scares me. The whole time, when I look at one, and I'm not a smart person, I don't know anything about physics, but when I look at it and when I'm in one, I feel like this thing doesn't feel like it wants to be in the air.
Oh, right.
You know, on an airplane, you take off.
Right.
And the first time you fly, even if you're scared, and maybe you're scared of heights, whatever, you're claustrophobic, but when that plane takes off, you can tell, like, it knows what it's doing. It's done this many times.
Right.
You know, and when you get to cruising altitude, it's very smooth. If it gets bumpy, they're like, we apologize. Helicopters are not, you know, this is a bumpy, crazy ride. Have you ever been in one?
I mean, in the military.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess.
They're a little scary. Like, if you see one, if you're driving on, if you take a road trip with the boys and you see one that says sightseeing Grand Canyon, whatever, and they wanted to do it,
I've thought about it for sure.
Yeah, it's fun, but it is a little nerve-wracking. So, Coachella, I've never been, but of course I've heard of it. I guess they had problems this year. First of all, I never thought really, really bad lines. Like 12-hour lines. There's no bathrooms. And this is lines of cars trying to get into the venue. People are trying to get there early enough. They camp at Coachella, right? Mm-hmm. Then they have this like record-setting heat. I think it was like 102 degrees when people got there. And on top of that, once they made it through this 12-hour line, if they found their place to set up, which I guess was also a problem, they were calling it another Fyre Fest because they said, we can't figure out where we're supposed to camp. Then, in order to get supplies, they were charging a ton of money for food and beverages and all that. Look, it looked like it worked. I mean, it looked like Lady Gaga performed and all that stuff. I didn't see any, but it looked like it was not fun. I just think
they'd have it down to a science.
They've done it for so long.
Right.
It made me wonder, seriously, has someone else taken over this operation? Right? Because you've done concerts. Doesn't it make you wonder? Like,
you just think it's, you know, kind of like, you know, they've figured it out now.
Yeah.
But
I think
it can go wrong.
Here's how many people we can hold without the lines getting crazy. This is the venue, all that. Now, they can't control the weather, but I can be the kind of person who looks at it and goes, it might be 102 degrees out there.
We have been stuck in line for nearly 10 hours.
TikTokers comparing parts of this year's Coachella to the infamous Fyre Festival.
13 hours later, we're still not in line.
As they sat in line stretching for miles, warning others, no bathrooms along the way. Some stuck despite arriving as early as 2 a.m. Those inside the grounds at Coachella confronting sweltering temperatures. The highs on Friday soaring to 102 degrees. Meanwhile, attendees looking to quench their thirst faced sky-high prices.
$17 lemonade.
A simple meal of tacos adding up to $100.
Okay, I don't know if this stuff is true. I'm just looking at these videos on TikTok where this girl holds up the lemonade. It's a cup full of ice, and she says it's mostly ice. But it's a lemonade. $17 for a lemonade? They showed it. If it's true, again, these are TikTokers, but they mentioned it there. One of these TikTokers shows their meal that they got of these little mini tacos and their drink, and they said it was $100.
Okay.
I mean, come on. You already paid. I think they said general admission tickets were $400 or $600. Somewhere like, you know, right at like half a grand, something like that. It's a lot of money. And that's for the GA tickets. Then on top of that, imagine that you spend that money.
And $100 for tacos?
And imagine you get in line at, let's say, 7 in the morning. Now it's 8 p.m. You've been in line for 13 hours, like that guy said. And you're still not in there? Look, dude, I got to get out of here. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think I would just take the loss. And say, well, I spent this money, and I know that what I'm waiting to get into now is 102 degree heat. I'm looking at social media, people who are in there are like, lemonades are $17.
Right.
Why am I waiting for this? You know what I mean? I can't believe that, like you said, they don't have it figured out. It's Coachella.
It's the first time I've ever heard there be a problem.
Me too. Yeah. It's been around forever. Now, I've heard rumors sometimes like, oh, we don't know if there's going to be a Coachella next year and stuff like that. And of course, the pandemic changed stuff. But yeah, they should have it down. So it made me wonder if somebody, because the people that you've done concerts with in the past, they know what they're doing. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes there's a problem. Not like that. And plus, they've done it in the same venue, the same place for a long time. Something must have happened. We're just not aware of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
I think if you have a new thing, you're going to try this new thing.
Yeah, sometimes there's problems.
Of course, because there's always going to be interesting problems. But if it's something you've done, it's a venue you've used.
You think it's pretty smooth.
Those people are brilliant at their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do for a living. And they look at it and say, it's going to take people this long to get in. It's going to take them this long to get set up.
There had to be something.
And charging $17 for a lemonade is not, that's not okay. You can't tell me that you had to charge $17 for a lemonade. If you already charged me $600 for tickets, you did not have to charge $17 for a lemonade. So the governor of Pennsylvania, this guy wanted to kill him, right? I mean, I feel like he almost did. The governor of Pennsylvania had just had some sort of, he'd had to get together at the governor's mansion, and I think it was some sort of Jewish something, I'm not sure. But it was some sort of get together. I saw pictures of like burned plates from where people had just been dining the night before. But his family is in there in bed, and this guy who wants to kill him comes along and firebombs his place, and I mean, he burned a lot of that mansion down. The fire department got there and hosed it down, but luckily the family got out of there, and I saw the governor on TV. He seemed angry.
Police say Cody Bomber scaled a fence to break into the mansion, using a handmade device to start the fire as the governor and his family slept.
This type of violence is not okay. I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other.
Bomber faces charges of attempted murder, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault. Past social media posts from Bomber showing him critical of the Biden administration, writing in one post, Biden supporters shouldn't exist.
Now, so Shapiro, Josh Shapiro, the governor, is a Democrat, and they're learning more about this guy, like he was saying, and going back and looking at this stuff, and it seems like he was pretty worked up against liberals, right? They're
right,
not
sure.
Like liberals. You know, I know everybody says we are the most divided we've ever been, but...
I mean, we're pretty divided during the Civil War.
Exactly. And didn't they say that, like, in 2000 when George Bush... beat Gore.
I think we've gotten more divided since then.
You think it's? Do you think it lives up to the rhetoric of how divided we are?
Yes,
you do.
Okay. I do.
That's what I was going to ask you. So you answered my question. You see these people, and I don't remember. I wonder if a guy like this who wanted to. First of all, we didn't have social media, so that changed it. When you go back and look at someone, you have to find a manifesto or something, right? See what their reasons were, but. I could see something like this happening 20 years ago, and I'm not thinking about it.
It happens a lot, and there's a lot more talk.
Because of social media.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And people...
Which, by the way, just encourages it so that it makes it more.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just like, I disagree with you, and I'd like to have a conversation with you.
A lot of times you didn't even talk about it.
Well, that's the thing.
Right? You didn't know, I don't think my dad knew who his friends voted for.
Right. My parents, thought about that a lot. I remember in 2000, during that election, that was the first time I voted. I had just turned 18, and I was still in school. I was a senior in high school. And remember, they didn't know who won, right? It was such a close election. And so the next day, we were at school, and I remember this teacher who wasn't my teacher for this class walked in, because we were all watching TV, and said, well, don't worry, kids. You know, they'll figure it out soon enough. Like, we were worried about it or whatever. Right. And one of the kids said, who'd you vote for? And she goes, well, I don't think it's appropriate to say who you voted for. Right. And I've thought about that lady a lot over the years.
Right, yeah.
Because there were a lot of people like her.
Of course.
And at the time, I didn't understand it. I'm like, well, if you don't want to say who you voted for, it's because you know you voted for the wrong person. That's the way I took it as an 18-year-old, right? You're embarrassed because you can't defend your vote, and you voted for him for selfish reasons. Like, this is what I'm putting on her at 18.
Right, yeah.
I was ignorant, immature, right? I look back now, and I go, oh, I think I see why they were doing that. You know what I mean? I think I remember...
Because they realized that it could cause... I think our parents realized that it could cause problems.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you know, you don't want your buddy to hate you because you voted for a different guy. So it's just kind of it.
Yeah. I did not know my dad's politics until I got interested in politics. And I was like 16, right? 15 or 16 when I started to get interested in politics. And I would talk to my mom about it. I would talk to my dad about it. And that's when I found out his politics. I knew that sometimes my mom and dad voted for different presidents.
Right.
But, you know, before that, I didn't know the difference between a Democrat and a Republican or whatever.
Right, sure.
I just knew that my dad sometimes didn't like certain people, but I wasn't thinking about parties. So I didn't know until I was older that he was like, he always voted Democrat. And my mom did not. You know
right,
what I mean?
Sure.
We were in a split household. It wasn't talked about that much. There were people who did. Don't get me wrong. There were people. I remember a guy at church one time in the parking lot talking to my parents. And he's like, you know, I don't think this election's going to be as close as they think it is. I don't think people like Clinton as much as the media says. I think he's going to lose. He was assuming my parents didn't vote for Clinton, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, my parents just didn't say anything. Like, yeah, who knows?
No.
And I'm thinking, no, I'm pretty sure my dad would have voted for Clinton.
I don't remember anybody talking about it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, I really don't.
Certainly didn't have social media. So the yard signs, that was it, right? People put yard signs. I mean, when Reagan was running, there were a lot of yard signs in yards. I don't know when that got popular. But people put yard signs in their yard. That was sort of a... Now you know who that family's voting for. If they put the yard sign.
Honestly.
Oh, you don't?
There wasn't a lot. And then, like, as a prank, they'd go grab a bunch of them and put them in somebody's yard.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I don't ever remember them. Like, you know, on the side of the road, I never remember any of those yard signs being on any of my streets.
Really?
Never.
Oh, that's crazy. Never. Yeah, I remember, like, in 92. So maybe that's when it really got big. Because I remember Perot, Clinton, and Bush. And I remember seeing, I'm like, wow, there's, like, three people. Because there were a lot of Perot signs in yards. But there were also a lot of Clinton and Bush signs. And I was like, wow, it's three people. I'm used to two. So maybe my part of the country, whatever, my neck of the woods, maybe they were a little more openly political. Or maybe that just started like in the 90s. I don't know. Then we got Facebook.
Yeah, then it just went crazy.
And it went.
Your grandmother started talking all kinds of ass.
Right. And I remember being on Facebook one time, and this was like in the early days of everyone switching over from MySpace to Facebook. And I remember seeing one of my friends talking politics. And I remember thinking, oh, don't do that on here. Don't ruin this.
Well, that's all it's for now.
So I just muted his post or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't unfriend him. I just didn't want to see his stuff. Did not take long for me to realize you are in the minority, my friend.
Yes,
that's what this is for now.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo, hit me with that news, you big ugly son of a bitch.
Ugly? You say I'm good looking most of the time. It's this jacket, isn't it? My mom bought it for me.
Yeah.
I get a little chilly out there. I like it because I can, you know, just wad it up and put it in my backpack.
That's not.
There we go. Is that better?
Better.
remember the kid who killed his parents and got in the car and drove away. He's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Killed his mom and stepdad, got in his car, and then he was actually in Kansas somewhere. Got pulled over, traffic stop. They find a gun in the car and all that stuff, and then they realize, oh, you've been missing, like at school. And you killed your parents. So now they've done some more research into this kid, and they found his manifesto. And it turns out that this kid killed his parents to finance his bigger mission.
What was it?
What was his bigger mission? I'm going to kill my parents, and then what do you do after that to top that?
Kill the president.
There you go. That's exactly what he wanted to do. Kill the president.
New developments in the case of a 17-year-old Wisconsin teen charged with killing his parents. Nikita Kassap is also accused of plotting to assassinate President Trump. Now, during the murder investigation, officials say they found a manifesto calling for the president's assassination in order to instigate a race war. Kassap attempted to buy a drone that could be used to drop an explosive. The manifesto did not say where or when he allegedly planned to target the president.
Wow, man.
Quit burning down governor's mansions.
I know.
Quit kidnapping governors. Quit shooting the president in the face. Just stop.
Yeah, 17 years old. Manifesto, race war.
One way or the other. Like, maybe you think the tariffs are great or they're horrible, but we'll get through it. We don't have to shoot people.
Oh, the tariffs. I thought they said terrorists. I was like, no. Tariffs, yeah.
Quit shooting people.
I don't know what this kid was upset about. But yeah, because the guy that went after the governor of Pennsylvania clearly seemed very anti-liberal.
And this guy, very anti-conservative.
I guess. So I mean, he certainly wanted to kill Trump, so I don't know.
Stop. Both of you. Most people on either side are reasonable human beings. So stop.
Did you see that whole thing where Bill Maher went and had dinner with Trump? Kid Rock organized it.
Yeah.
And did you watch Bill Maher's thing about it?
I did, but I read about it.
He just, you know, like at the end of a show.
I went to hit play and it was 12 minutes. I was like, all right,
I know. The reason I heard it is because Brooke had it playing on her phone.
Oh, okay.
And it was quiet, so I ended up hearing the whole thing. Honestly, after I heard the beginning, I was like, okay, you know, I hope she switches that. But I ended up hearing the whole thing. But he's just saying, like, look, I don't like him. I don't like his politics. But when I went in there, he was nice to me. And when I took shots at him for stuff that he's done that I thought were dumb, he was like, okay, all right. He didn't get mad.
Right.
And he said, I don't know why he doesn't act like that more as president. I wish he would, because, you know, he's like, I'm a liberal. But we could sit down, and he could laugh. And he goes, and he genuinely laughed at one of my jokes. And he goes, and I'm a comedian. I know when someone is laughing. He was like, so this whole idea that this can't be done, he's like, you know, obviously I don't agree with this politics. Yes, again. And now liberals are going to be mad that I went and said, hey, this guy seems like, when I'm with him, like a decent person. So I understand the goal here. It's because we have stuff like this going on.
Exactly.
Teenagers trying to kill the president. But these guys seem like different guys. The guy that went after the governor, I see pictures of him and learn more about him. This seems like one of these blue-collar guys who got really worked up by social media. If this had happened 10 years ago, I would have said it was Alex Jones or something, right? But I don't know who it is. I'm sure they'll find out now which websites he was on. The kid in Wisconsin reminds me of the Netflix thing. And I don't know that, but I look at this kid, and I just imagine him spending too much time online without any supervision.
Right.
Right? And somehow he got to this point where he said, I mean, if you remember the original story, he like told that girl that he was going to kill his parents and stuff. What was he looking at? What was he doing?
If somebody says they're going to kill their parents, tell someone.
I think she did. I think at that point they were maybe dead. I don't remember. She did say something like, oh, well, that kid's been missing. Maybe that's when she said something. But either way, whatever happened to this kid, when I see his face, when they bring him into court, and I see how young he is, his little pimply face, and I think, this was some kid who got indoctrinated online somewhere,
don't
right?
Don't kill your parents.
Yeah.
Go to college.
Yeah.
Literally.
Or don't. I don't care. But I'm just saying,
that's
people.
What I tell my kids.
Yeah.
Like, if you really hate me, you know, not to get all Rollins, but the one way to do it is just, like, you know, live better than me.
Yeah.
Like, have better relationships, be a nicer person, out-earn me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, really rebel.
Yeah.
Rebel. And, like, make every decision that I've made look like a dumb one and make better ones.
That used to be the common response. You'd hear about people said they had a terrible
childhood. There's other ways that, you know, you drink too much or whatever, but that doesn't really prove anything to anybody. That's what I tell them. Like that, all right, you can go get a debilitating drug problem and to rebel against your dad, but
it's not gonna help.
Then everybody's just going to be like, your dad was right.
Yep, you failed.
That doesn't help you. He told you. You're an idiot, and now look at you. So do all that, but don't kill your parents. And if you get good grades, and then just get a full ride to UCLA and don't come back.
Yeah.
Just go to California. Get as far away as you can.
Yeah.
And go. And don't come back. It's really easy.
Yeah. I definitely prefer the people who you hear about that say they had a bad childhood, so they were eager to start a family of their own and do it right.
Right, yeah.
And you hear about, it might be women more often. I'm sure we hear about guys, too, that are like, I wanted to get married and have kids because my childhood sucked.
Well, you know, that's also in the adolescence, though, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, though. Don't kill the president. Also.
Don't kill the president. Don't kill your parents.
Did this happen, you know, 25 years ago? Did these teenagers have manifestos?
I'm sure somebody killed their parents.
You know, you had, what's his name? I can't think. Who's the guy that blew up a federal building in Oklahoma City?
Timothy McVeigh.
I want to say Ted
something. There's a new documentary on Netflix about it.
Oh, I watched a documentary about him not too long ago.
I just saw it. It was advertised to me. Oh, okay. It's coming. Oklahoma bombing or something.
Oh, okay. I just watched. HBO did one.
I did the Waco thing, which included him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was buddies with those guys.
He showed up and was handing out flyers. Yeah. Well, he was just like, this is a good example of the government.
Exactly. That's
overreach.
What made him angry.
And, you know, he's like, here's my proof. Here's my proof of what I've been saying. But, so those guys did exist, but they got indoctrinated by, like, going to, I don't know, skinhead rallies or whatever.
Yeah.
When I hear a 17-year-old today talking about, I wanted to kill the president and start a race war, this whole race war thing, aren't we past that? What race war?
Right.
What race? I'm genuinely curious.
And how does killing the president start one?
Right. I don't know. And drop it in a drone with an explosive. But I'm genuinely so dumb, I'm asking. What races? Is it just white people versus anyone who's not totally white? Are you anti-Semites as well? You usually are
it's
for some reason.
It's hard to tell with that. The anti-Semitism is a weird thing.
It's weird.
I think there's the skinheads clearly are anti-Semitic, and
right.
Elon did the Nazi thing.
Well, right.
Right? But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And then people put Nazi stuff on his car, so they're Nazis. But then
are they calling him a Nazi?
The left is like, the Jews are horrible.
I know.
Right? So I'm like, I think like everyone just hates the Jews now. I'm not exactly sure.
It's weird because when we were young, and I mean not just kids, but even young adults, and you heard about anti-Semitism, you heard about World War II, and you'd hear the Anti-Defamation League talking about, hey, we got to be careful because people really hate Jews. In my mind, I thought, well, not anymore. Right?
Right.
That was a thing of the past. That was stupid. And we've talked about it before, like, what reasons? What are their, you know, what do they give? And then I hear some of these things at these dumb skinhead rallies or whatever, and you go, well, that is ridiculous. Right,
right? Of course.
Like, how do you even know, right? How do you know if your buddy's Jewish or not unless he tells you? Like, who cares? It's so bizarre because with race, with skin color, it's so dumb and obvious, but it's obvious.
Right.
You go, okay, you don't like because they look different. But with Jews, I'm like, wait, what kind of propaganda are we going back to from 1937? Like, I really thought we were past it. And now it seems we've come back and they were right. Like, the Jews warned us, hey, people hate us and we have to be very careful because they're going to hate us again. Me neither. But and now it's on the left. The left hates Jews. What?
And the right, I think, hates them too, but then they're
I don't know.
We support them in the war, so I'm like, wait.
Support Israel, yeah.
But what are you doing with, like, the Hitler stuff? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's confusing.
I can't figure it out.
I know. It's like, where do we belong? Where do we go?
Well, I'm Jewish, so.
Well, I know, and I feel bad for you. Times have gotten scary, but that's the thing. It's like, you look at the extremes on both sides, and that becomes kind of, you know, I don't think it's, you say for better or for worse.
Look, it seems like a weird place for the right and the left to meet with the hate of the Jews. Like,
exactly.
What?
Yeah. How did we get here? I did not see this. I mean, even 5 years ago, I didn't see this coming. Yeah. I read Seth Rogen's book, and he talked about how his parents warned him that people hate Jews and all this. And he's like, you guys are crazy. And it was like a funny story or whatever. And that was, I don't know, a couple years ago. So even then, I was thinking like, yeah, that would be weird, you know, that your parents are so scared that people hate the Jews. But you know, obviously they're old-fashioned because people don't hate the Jews anymore. And then here we are. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and I don't know, I don't know how you fix it, Lazo. You say don't shoot the president, but maybe kids don't need to be on the internet so much. But I don't know. You can't stop that, I guess. I don't know. You're a parent. Like, you can monitor some of what they're doing. You can talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, was this kid having conversations with his parents?
Was there any other warning signs? I mean, I don't know.
Seems
that's
like
the
there
thing.
Were.
Like, was he not going to school? What, you know what I mean? Like, all those things. Like, yeah. I really leave my kids alone. I'm like, be involved in extracurricular activities and get good grades. You do that, and so maybe they're just sitting at home, like, reading anti-Jewish things, which would be weird for them. But
it really would. Really, truly would. Yeah, but I suppose it can happen.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, this story that just started making national news, and there's a big update, but two college students, they take a spring break trip, to Denmark, okay? Apparently, they are in an Uber, and they're trying to get back to the airport to get back to the United States. The trip is about over. They get an Uber. While they're in the Uber, their story is they realize that they put the wrong destination in, and they claim the driver won't change which way he's going. So they cancel their trip. Again, this is their side of the story. I don't think we've heard the Uber drivers yet. So they canceled the trip. Now, they did say that the Uber driver didn't seem to understand that he would still get paid even if they canceled the trip. Like, maybe he was new or something and didn't know, hey, if they cancel and get out, you still get paid for the ride. So they eventually get out of the car. They claim that the Uber driver, after they'd gotten out of the car, comes back. Like, he'd started to leave and then comes back around, gets out of the car, comes up to one of them and, like, kicks him in the nuts or something.
Right.
Okay? And this altercation happens. Now, the mom is planning on picking them up at the airport, but instead she wakes up to messages from her son saying, hey, I'm in jail in Copenhagen.
I woke up to a text message that said, Mom, I'm in prison in Copenhagen.
She says Owen and his friend were taking an Uber back to their hotel on March 31st when they realized they'd entered the wrong address and opted to cancel the ride. That's when the situation quickly escalated.
And about 5 minutes had passed since the time that they got out of the Uber. And the Uber driver came back around, got out of his car, and then proceeded to kick Owen in the groin. They sort of pushed him away, and they ran away.
Authorities arresting the two at the airport the next day, charging them with assault and declaring them a flight risk.
Okay, so they charged them with a simple assault. Right. Said they're a flight risk. Now, that's March 31st. So then this becomes a big story. Today's April 14th. As of this morning, they were saying, look, we've got another court date for them. It's April 24th, 10 days away. So this makes big national news today, and the update now is that they have gotten them out of jail.
But they took their passports.
They still don't have their passports. So my guess is that once this made headlines over here, they were like, okay, this is a bad look. There's some sort of a scuffle with an Uber driver. They don't need to be in jail this long. They've been there since the 31st, and now we're going to say they're going to be there till the 24th, basically a month at least, over a simple assault. So they let them out, but they still don't have their passport, so I'm guessing they're still going to have to go to court, right? Now, look, you've been cuffed a few times in your life. I don't know how it works. Obviously, it varies by police department, but I cannot imagine that if I am in an Uber and I cancel a ride, and there's some sort of minor scuffle with the Uber driver, and then he leaves. No, like, broken bones. No major injuries, nothing like that. Just some pushing and shoving, maybe a kick to the nuts, whatever. If that's actually what happened. No one's sitting in jail that long, are they?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really?
So if you get, say you get arrested on a Friday, you go to see a judge on Monday.
I have heard of that, yeah.
The judge on Monday, if depending on what it is, would just set bond.
Okay.
So if you don't have bond, then you have to wait till the court date. And the court date could be 20 days away, 30 days away, 50 days away, whatever. You don't know. But if you don't have bond, you stay.
So do you think most police departments would, in this country, arrest someone for a scuffle with an Uber driver like that? It just seems like they say, hey, you got a court date, don't leave the state, something like that. The fact that you're sitting in jail because the two of you, you know, pushed an Uber driver allegedly.
I don't know how bail system works there.
Well,
but
I mean, I'm saying here, though. Here, would a cop put you in jail? You think so?
Yes, of course.
It's just crazy to me. And if you're the parent, so say your kid, it's your kid, he's over there with a friend. He texts you and says, hey, I'm in jail. Now your goal is to try, because you can't get movement, you can't get the authorities there to get him out of jail. They're telling you, like, oh, we'll get him a court date on the 24th of April.
Right.
So now your goal is to try and make this a national news story.
Of
try
course.
And get the media to care. Hey, look, my white son is,
right,
you know,
sure.
He's just a college kid. He needs to get back to class. And they've got him locked up for, you know, an Uber driver pushing him. You know, that's their side of the story. I don't know what really happened. I imagine that they got into an actual scuffle. But if the Uber driver had real injuries, I feel like they would have shown us.
They can probably tell if the Uber driver left and came back.
Well, right. But, I mean, even if they did get in a scuffle, you know what I'm saying? If there were
no, I'm saying that's how they would know. If they got in a scuffle then they'd probably be able to. The Uber driver, the big part of that would be if he left and then came back.
Yeah, when
that's what I'm guessing the parents have. Because they keep saying, and the lawyer keeps saying, he left and then came back. So if he left and then came back, then it's on him.
Yeah, yeah. Their side of the story is that he leaves and comes back.
I'm guessing Uber can tell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Uber didn't say anything about that in their statement, but... if he's got the app going, right, then they're tracking his location. So you think if he left and came back, that shows that he's the perpetrator. He instigated this.
Right.
I'm with that, and that's enough. I mean, why? I guess that's my question: is why weren't if the cops show up and you say we've gotten into a scuffle? How do you know who to arrest? Because I'm sure the college kids, the Americans, are like, he came up and kicked us, right? Or whatever. Their side of the story isn't going to be, yeah, we decided to attack this guy. So why wasn't the Uber driver arrested? You know, I don't know. You say that, yeah, you think that people will get arrested here for that. I really don't know. But it just seems like such a minor thing. And now it's become a major thing because you're stuck in another country and they took your passport away. Like, what's the punishment for this? Why am I waiting? Whatever the punishment could possibly be, haven't I served it by sitting in jail for
maybe
this long?
Time served.
Yeah. I mean, how
often? You still have to do it here.
Yeah, so...
You have to do it here. Like, if you were going to get 30 days, they give you, you know, all right, well, there's 30 days. You got 24 served.
So you think that, like, in the United States, let's just say right here in Kansas City, you get into a scuffle with an Uber driver like that.
They arrest you for whatever reason. They decide that the cops think there's enough proof that you guys... punch this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
They arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
They send you to court. The judge offers bail.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't pay bail because you don't have it.
Right.
You sit in jail the rest of the time.
Well, what's the dumbest thing you ever got thrown in the clink for?
Oh, I don't know. I mean...
When you incited a fray, did they put you in jail?
They did. But I've never not posted bail.
Okay. And when you post bail, I know this is a dumb question,
mm-hmm.
but do you go straight to a bondsman or do you like call your parents or how does
that
work?
Someone can go to a bondsman for you and say your bail's $10,000, they give him $1,000 and then he comes over, does the paperwork, and then they just come get you and say you've been bonded out.
Okay, so when you call someone, you're not calling...
No, it's $500, you know, sometimes you can just pay it yourself.
Right, but so if you're in there, you're not most of the time calling the bondsman directly. You're calling someone to say, hey, call the bondsman for me.
Someone else has got to go call the bondsman.
Okay, and so same money, let's just use that, $10,000. It's $1,000 to get you out, right? Mm-hmm. So the bondsman fronts that money, correct?
The bondsman fronts the $10,000.
Right, that $1,000 is what you
comes
owe.
From you.
Yeah, you have
to pay him up front.
Plus whatever. Okay, so you pay him the $1,000 right then and there.
Yeah, you pay him $1,000 right then and there. That's what it costs. It's usually 10% of the bond.
Yeah.
And then when you go to court, he gets his $10,000 back.
Right. I wonder what the percentage of people is that try to...
Well, I ran on bail and
was
gone for a long time. And when I finally turned myself in, they're just like, well, we knew where you were.
Wait, when was this? So this wasn't the time that you got picked up in Michigan and they wanted to take you to Florida or whatever?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
They wanted me to come back because I skipped bail.
Okay. So did your family know that you skipped bail that time?
No.
Okay.
I don't think anybody knew.
Okay.
I just got in the car and left.
Just decided? Were you planning before that?
No, there was a hurricane that came, and they kind of evacuated everybody from South Florida.
Okay.
And so I was in the car, and they were like, oh, and if you're on, it was on TV and the radio, and they're like, if you're out on bail or bond, turn yourself in.
Oh, really?
Right, and, you know, because everybody was leaving, everybody had to leave Key West. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. So I just got in the car, and... It's like a one-lane road out there, and there's cops directing traffic and everything, and they were stopping people. And I'm like, well, if I get stopped, and then they'll put me in. You know what I mean? But they didn't stop me, so I just kept driving.
Before that, you know, you got this court date pending or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think to yourself, like, I'm going to go to court, or were you thinking I'm
going to go? No, I thought I was going to go to court. It just seemed too nice.
Yeah.
So, like, well, everybody's leaving. Why don't I just get in a big line with them and get the hell out of here?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought about it before, just on my own.
I know you remember... Because you've known me most of my life now. I know you remember that time that they were trying to violate my probation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to have to go do 3 months. And I had a court date coming up, right? And then they extended it two different times. So it ended up being, I can't remember exactly how long, but it was months and months between the time that I got in trouble and the time that I was actually going to go to court. And I knew that my punishment was, if they said, yeah, you violated, 3 months in jail.
Right.
You had this whole plan. You're going to let me call in from jail the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. That was, though, those months waiting for that court date was the most miserable time of my life, honestly. I mean, yes, it was very sad when my dad, that's a different type of misery. This was like fear, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be in the shower, and I'd be just like so overcome, like, this is stupid. Why am I even trying? Because this is all leading to me going to court. I obviously violated my probation. It's pretty clear. And the judge already dislikes me. Right. So they're just going to send me to jail for 3 months, and it's hanging over my head. What was your, when did you have one of those periods in your life, and what were you facing? I'm sure you did at some point. Where you had a court date pending and you were...
Oh, plenty of times.
Yeah. But there wasn't one that was like the worst?
When I turned myself back in to go to Key West, like, I'm like, well, you know...
Because that was a big deal.
I'm going to go for a long time. I remember, like, you know, when you get arrested at night and you go into the holding cell.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, they grab people, right? And they, you know, to go to court. And they call everybody's name, except for me. I'm the last one there, and I kind of look at him, and I go, well, you know, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, no, these are misdemeanors. You're a felony.
Ugh.
And you're like, oh, it's going to be a longer process for me. Like, I got to go to a different court. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that was one of those where you're like, this isn't kid stuff anymore.
No, it's seriously, look, first of all, 3 months. You kept telling me, like, you can do it. It's 3 months. It's easy. 3 months. And they'll probably let you out after 2 months anyway.
Yeah, you're going to do it in the county anyway.
That's fine. Like, they were sending me some, I can't remember the name of it, somewhere in middle Missouri. I heard mixed reviews of this place. So it was horrible. Some people said horrible. Some people said, oh, it's not so bad.
One out of five would not suggest.
All I thought was, as we established earlier in the program, I am a wuss. And I thought, I do not make it very long in jail. And people are saying, like, oh, 2 months. Maybe they could make it 2 months. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm going to end up, you know.
Nobody's going to rape you in county jail.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to rape me, although in this county jail they do. But I'm not saying that. It's more of just like the fear. First of all, being locked up. I'm claustrophobic. I mean, when people think about prison, they think they get scared about getting raped, getting beat up, all that stuff, gangs. How about just being locked in that tiny space?
Yeah,
all day.
You'd have a big common area you could go out to.
Right, because it's not like federal prison. Yeah, that's the problem, though, Lazo. So now there's a pod or whatever, this common area. You're out there. You think I'm going to find a group to fit in with?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Man, I just didn't think I would. And that whole time I was thinking, there was a part of me that said, get in the car and drive away. Throw
for
your job
months,
away.
Don't do that for 3 months.
I know, but Lazo, I was scared. I'm a wuss, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no,
and I
don't
thought,
do that for 3 months.
I thought, I can't be locked in that. I can't be locked
in
that.
You're just going to get warm.
I know, but are they really going to come looking for me? Yeah. You know, but I thought about you because you got picked up and they drove you back to Florida from Michigan.
They did.
Over, what? I mean, what was that, a DUI or something?
No, it was more.
Oh, it was more than that.
Yeah,
okay. Well, either way, I just thought, you know, if I run, I lose my job, I got to start over. That didn't seem like something I'd be very good at to begin
eventually
with.
Eventually they'll catch
you. But I'd be thinking about it, right. Because at some point I'm going to get pulled
over.
Forget.
I was left and they didn't pull me over for 2.5 years.
Yeah, but you forget.
But I had been pulled over in that meantime and nothing came up.
How is that possible?
Don't know. Maybe the cop didn't run it, you know, whatever. Just,
were you thinking about it
maybe
at the time?
He thought it was a different name? Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Like, oh, it's going to come up and then he lets you go and you're like, oh, it didn't come up. So the next time you get pulled over, you're like, well, this isn't going to come up. And then it comes up, so.
So that's it. You're going to jail.
I think one time I got pulled over, and the guy was like, have you ever lived in Florida? I'm like, no. He's like, huh, okay. And, like, so he was just like, I must be wrong.
Wow.
And then the next time,
wow.
The guy was like, have you ever lived in Florida? I'm like, no. And he's like, I got a warrant for you. He's like, I'm sure you'll be out in a minute, but I got to take you in. I'm like, oh, God.
And that's the time?
Like, yeah.
God damn, man. Well, if anyone's got that hanging over their head right now, if you're listening.
Don't run.
Don't run.
Well, I mean, I'm not telling you not to run. You can run. But just know they're going to catch you.
You won't get away.
Eventually, somebody's going to pull you over for rolling a stop sign. You know, like when you first run, like I didn't speed. I didn't do anything. Like, boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
And then 2.5 years later, you're like, I don't know. It's a yellow light. You go through it.
You
know what I
mean?
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You're like, well, whatever. You're just living life. And then that's when they catch you.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Did
you see people are upset with Triple H?
No.
You know who he is?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but I'm aware of who he is, yes.
Right. The guy in charge of wrestling, used to be a wrestler, married to Stephanie McMahon.
I knew he was married to her. That's about all I know. I know what he looks like, and I watched
and
that
he's
documentary.
In charge of the creative, WWE now.
Okay.
But people are really upset with him, and here's a quote that he, and I'll let you decide, but. He said, I think Trump's ability, like him or hate him, the way he does it, But he's charismatic in so many ways, and I think he likes getting under people's skin, generating heat. It's amazing, and it's genius, and it's worked in our business. There's lots of billionaires in the world. Why was he the most famous one? Why was he the one that was in People magazine every week? And with everybody under the sun, why was he seen as the epitome of that billionaire status? Because of his charisma and his character and who he is. And the way he can speak about it and do all those things, it captivates people. And people hate him for that.
Well, that's all true.
Right, of course. Like, when he's talking about it, I assume Triple H likes Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump, and he makes a lot of money, and they all seem conservative to me.
Right.
But that's what Donald Trump is doing, professional wrestling. Like, that's how you do it.
He was on Oprah in the 80s. Like,
right.
He's always been out there. He's in Home Alone.
And he understands how to get support and make people hate him. And he understands that in order to be wildly successful, you have to have both.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have everybody love you. Someone's got to hate you. And you can't just have everybody hate you. Someone's got to love you. Like, you have to be able to generate that.
And they hash it out, which causes you to constantly
each other,
be talked
and you
about.
Become constantly talked about.
Yeah.
He's done professional wrestling marketing. That's what they do, and he's good at it.
Yeah.
And I would bet he was friends with Vince McMahon. They learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
Like, how do I do it? How do I get people to hate me and love me? How do I turn heel? Well, all right, now everybody's going to hate you. All right, well, good. Then how do I turn face? How do I make everybody like me? All right, well, how do I do both? Like, it, to me, watching Donald Trump talk is very pro wrestling.
Yeah. It takes me back to the thing we were talking about earlier, the Bill Maher dinner that he talked about this weekend, and he's like, I don't know why you can't be like that. Bill Maher's saying, you know, he was nice and normal and all those things when it was just two of us.
Nobody would care.
Because, exactly. That's not
he would be
president. That's not how he got to where he is. And before he got into politics, he was still very good at being, I'm with Triple H. He had the image of America's rich guy.
Yeah, of course.
And back then, I don't know, did
people
a lot of...
People loved him.
I don't think people hated
about
him. Exactly. And people... He wasn't like this huge divisive guy. He was America's rich guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even really know how rich he was, but you say, you know, when you thought of a rich guy for 40
Trump.
Years, you said, Trump, I want to have money like Trump. He was very good at branding his name. I mean, they said in that, I don't know which documentary it was, but I know you watched it, talking about, well, how much money, trying to figure out how much money he has, but that where he made a ton of his money, most of his money at some point, was just from licensing his name, selling it to put on a hotel. Now, if you can just sell your name like that, if a big fancy hotel says, hey, we, in order to be have a competitive edge in wherever we are, we want to put your name on the hotel.
Of course.
Well, then you've done something to promote yourself.
Of course.
And make yourself
famous. He does a great
famous.
Job of it.
And then to get political, to get into that, that's when
because it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's radio. Any sort of promotion, WWE does it the best. They get it. They understand it. They understand how to make guys get under your skin. They understand how to make you love guys. And they can change it overnight.
Yep.
You could hate someone on Monday, and then on Friday on the next show, he does something. You're like, I love him.
And vice versa.
Love him. That's my guy. Right.
Yep.
And they get it. They know it. He's not doing anything any different.
No. I mean, once he got into politics.
We don't do anything any different.
Yeah, once he got into politics, that was when it started to become, you know, how do you get talked about constantly? When he first entered the race, remember he came down that escalator and people at Trump Towers and that was how
he
and people laughed about it or whatever. But from that moment on, he figured out how to get talked about constantly. You can make fun of those debates all you want.
Oh yeah,
he's president. He's been president
but he
twice.
Did it. He took it. Well, I think what everybody understood about the WWE and turning into politics, I think Obama knew that. Everybody knew it. They may not have used WWE as a reference point, but they're aware of it and how it works and what you say and how you do this to market yourself. And all of that, how to make the other person look like a bad guy and make yourself look like a good guy. It's all very simple. He's always known how to do that. And he knew. Now, I think he made it even more WWE over the top, which I think some people dislike, and they say, you know, honor the office or whatever.
Yes.
The presidency.
Yes.
Right?
You've degraded it.
But he's like, you know, little Marco's got a small dick.
Yep.
Right? Well, that's straight out of WWE. There's no, you don't have any basis in that. You just look at it and be like, look, you know, a small wiener.
Yep.
And people are like, yeah, small wiener, small wiener. That's a, I watched the WWE do it with The Miz. They say he got small balls.
Yeah.
And they and then he would come out and people would cheer small balls like it's they did it to Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
They literally did it to him. They called him small wiener.
I mean, so
little Marco with his small feet and his little wiener.
So Triple H says basically love him or hate him. You got to give him credit for being so good at being so famous.
He gets it. He understands how to create heat. That's what he's like. He gets it.
I mean, look, I know a lot of things are controversial that shouldn't be. That
then,
to
like
me,
the first comment after that is like KKKH or something. Like, you know, I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I assume the guy's a conservative. I'm assuming
but he
he's
doesn't
friends
say
with,
it.
No.
He's not saying that.
Mm-mm. And I assume he's friends with, you know, Donald Trump. I assume he is.
Me too, but I don't know for sure.
No.
But what he's saying is demonstrably true. It's totally true.
And I also know that there's other wrestlers who aren't. I know, like, you know, they were doing, like, the tour in Saudi Arabia, and Sami Zayn was like, I'm not going over there until they... Like, so, you know, there's been people, and I don't see those guys getting punished.
Right.
You know, so I feel like he's just like, yeah, look, I'm, you know, I make a ton of money, and I'm Vince McMahon's son-in-law, and I've probably been to Trump's house 10 million times.
Yeah, that's what I assume. I assume they're great friends. I assume they voted for him.
I don't know where this article was from, but somebody was like, what do you think of Trump? And I think he was like, love him or hate him.
Yeah.
Dude generates heat like we do in this business. Just understood it. Here it is. And then everybody's like, ah, you piece of crap.
And I'll bet at least 75% of them
Which, by the way, didn't read the whole thing. I feel the same way about Obama. Obama understood how to generate heat. And so heat is bad in wrestling, but Obama understood how to take little things, say them again, repeat them, and get people to then say them and believe them. Obama understood that. There's not a big difference now, politically where they are, but I'm just talking about the self-promotion of yourself as a candidate. Take everything away from what you believe, how you're going to govern, what you want to do. The yes we can is no different if you're a wrestling fan than the Daniel Bryan's yes movement. Everybody's like, you're too small, you're too this, you're too this. He's like, you know, can we do it? Yes, yes, yes. Everybody was shouting it. Obama was just like, yes we can, yes we can.
Yeah.
Just added two words. Like it's the same concept. It's like, hey, we're the underdogs. People don't believe in us. I'm a black guy. I shouldn't be president. People say we can't, but you know what? Yes, we can. Yeah. Boom, that's it.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
You got to work a crowd. And,
right.
and Obama, same thing, because Obama, you know, a couple years before he ran for president, was a senator that most people never heard of.
Of course.
And so, you know, if you were really into politics, you heard his name. And then it felt like almost overnight, the guy was running for president, his first try, and got it. You have to generate something. Because you can't just say, I'm running for president, and that's
it. Not, watch all those guys. A lot of people do it. And they're like, well, I'll just hit them with policy.
I'll be honest. Yeah, someone ran for president. Some Democrat ran for president last year. I don't remember his name.
Right.
I saw him on TV once. And maybe he's from Minnesota or something. Whatever. I'm like, oh, that guy didn't. He did not know how to get attention. Trump knows how to get attention. He's very, very, very good at it. And the people who say it's all accidental, it's dumb. It's not accidental.
No.
It's not just, they're like, oh, that's just who he is, and it's accidental. No, because look at him before he got into politics. Before he got into politics, he was different, right? So, and he still knew how to become famous, how to be famous for just being him, for just being Trump. No one ever said he's the richest guy in the world. It wasn't like, you know, like we're looking at his bank accounts.
And he just said it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Ted DiBiase.
Right.
The money man. He's just like, look at all this money I got.
That was it.
I got all this money. You know, people are like, no, you don't. We think we can prove you don't. He's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
I got golden toilets.
Exactly. So when
that's
you think rich, you think Trump.
Right.
All right. So let me ask you this question real quick. Don't take a break. But this was the poll over the weekend. If your adolescent self met you right now, would that adolescent self be proud or disappointed?
Mm.
I'll let you think about it for a second, because I saw you do the same thing. I have like an initial reaction, and then I go, well, there are some things that I don't know. Let's discuss it in a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so there's two of these questions, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But the first one is, if your adolescent self met you right now, would they be proud or disappointed? And when I asked you that earlier, you went, and I could see it's change. Like you had, because that's what happened to me. I had an initial thought.
What was your initial thought?
My initial thought was like, cool. You got a job.
So.
You got a job doing radio. That's, you know.
Well, you got a house. You're doing all right.
Right.
Then I thought, how deep are we digging?
Right. How old?
Exactly. How old's the adolescent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
at 10, he probably was like, damn, we didn't make it to the MLB.
Oh, you had those kind of aspirations. So I never really had that. But I wondered if...
But at 17, when I was a high school dropout, I'd be like, you got a Lincoln out there?
Right. Do you think that your adolescent
you
self...
You play music on the rock and hang out?
Right, that's
talk
clearly.
About your wiener? Like, not bad.
That's the first thought. Is right. Like, holy crap, and how long you been doing this? Wow, great. I wondered if my younger self would be scandalized by divorce. You know, like, oh, you got divorced.
Mine would have been like, well, you got married.
You were prepared for it?
Well, like, I think mine would have been like, look, we know who we are.
Yeah, so your younger self was like, I told you not to do this.
15 or 16, it would have been like, of course. Let me guess what happened.
Right. Younger self was like, I warned you not to do this.
Well, I don't even know what it would have been like, but I know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. You just say, well, I got married at this age. What do you think happened?
I'm not married anymore, right?
I can see my younger self being a little scandalized by that, I guess. I'm not sure, though. I don't remember.
No, mine wouldn't.
I know I didn't have big... you mentioned MLB. I remember a friend of mine, when he turned 40, people were running. He wanted to thank everyone for coming to his birthday dinner or whatever. And he gave, like, this speech, and he talked about how, you know, it is tough because you realize that those dreams of, like, being a pro... ball player, being an outfielder, you know, they're definitely over now. And I'm thinking, wow, you had those dreams, and you know, in your 30s, some part of you is like, maybe I could go do something great.
No, mine.
That's kind of crazy.
When I entered the military,
right.
It was like, I don't.
Right, like it took you till you were 40.
Expect
40?
That to come back.
And I thought, man, I never had that.
Although, have you just not to get too sidetracked with this, but have you watched the new a season with the Red Sox?
Not yet. No, I saw it was up there. I was busy this weekend, but
episode
I want to.
Where they call a guy up to the majors.
Okay.
And so his story, he's like 31.
Okay.
But his story, like in high school, he broke his leg, and so he couldn't play. And then they go through it, and then like he goes to college anyway, and like, I don't know, tears his arm off, and like all these things, get to the minor leagues and hurts himself. It just hurt.
Damn.
Goes back to his hometown. Gets a drinking problem, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing construction, and he's drinking too much. He gets sober, and he's coaching little kids baseball. And after he would give pitching lessons, they would leave, and he would throw a little bit. And he's like, one day they had a gun out there, and I'm like, dude, you're still throwing 97.
Does this happen to be some guy that's watched him, like out of a movie?
No, he's with his buddies.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, okay, so this is a buddy.
He's coaching. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and he throws it. You know, they're like, you're still throwing 97, man. You should go try out. Anyways, he gets called up to the big leagues.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
At like 31. It's a good story.
When they call him,
he's crying. It's good.
I'm going to watch that tonight for sure. I want to watch it. But yeah, okay, so that's,
oh, yeah, so
that's
of course,
crazy.
Of course.
But I suppose, you know, 30 was like... to me, 30 was like, okay, well, if you did get a wild hair up your ass and decide that you really wanted to do something, you were going to focus and practice, you know, whatever that book was, the 10,000 hours of practice, whatever it is, you know, you can give up on that. I think at 30, I kind of gave up on any of that. Not that I had a specific goal in mind. I'm just kind of like, okay, well, you can't do anything now except what you're doing. You know, you should be thankful that you're doing what you're doing. I think adolescent me would be happy.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Because I wonder how Alice and me was so dumb and just didn't think about the future really at all. But I do think that at a young age, I was a little scared about, like, how will I survive?
Well, I only wanted to do two things. I was either play sports or be on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To perform in some capacity.
Yeah.
Maybe that was acting or something. I wanted to perform. I didn't know exactly how I was going to get there, but I really loved the idea of radio and music and... that I think I'd be like, wow, all right, the other stuff didn't work out, but man, it did. I think I'd be like, man, you didn't quit.
Yeah,
you kept trying, like, and you did it.
You're right.
I'm
definitely way too much. I'm too jaded. I've been doing this too long. You're right. Adolescent me would be freaked out because, I mean, I wanted to be on the radio too. I made my own radio station,
too.
Like a lot of us did. The whole thing. And so if you said, here you are, and you know.
You've been doing this for a long time.
You've been doing this for a long time. You're on 98.9 The Rock.
Yeah.
I would probably S my pants.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'd be telling my friends, like, you are not going to believe this, right?
Right.
So you're right. There's I'm divorced schmorse. I don't care. Right. You're on The Rock? Yeah.
Right.
You're right. The adolescent me would absolutely love it. The other one was you get 15 seconds to give adolescent you two words. What are those two words? You got to say them within, I don't know why it's within 15 seconds, but that's hypothetical, two words. And I, man, I had a tough time with that. Like, of course you could say try harder, but then part of me is like, I don't know.
No. It's got to be like, that's not going to work for me anyway.
No, it's not going to have any effect on adolescent me.
Like, okay, try harder.
Like, oh, well it looks like
I... Try harder at what?
Right, right.
Mm-mm. I'd have to, like, I mean, buy Bitcoin, buy Google.
Of course.
Buy Yahoo.
Of
you know, I don't know
course.
What it is. You know, you can only do two.
You're
like,
right.
You got to tell them to
buy
sell
Bitcoin.
It too, but...
Buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, buy
that's
Bitcoin.
It. Because as soon as you'll be waiting to hear about it, and then as soon as there's a press release about
right.
Bitcoin, you'll go, here it is.
I mean,
this
can't
is
say,
it.
Like, hold. You know what
no.
I mean? Like,
but if you had that knowledge
right,
and
but
you
maybe,
bought it
but
early.
I, what I don't want to do is tell myself, I got to think of better words because what I don't want to tell myself just buy it and then they sell it and make like $5,000. Like, oh, great. Like, no. You don't sell this. Don't sell it forever.
Yeah, but if they bought it early because they were told by, you know, future you
yeah.
to buy it, if they were one of those super early people, I mean, it'd be almost impossible not to get rich. They would see that wealth and at some point, no, this is good. I'm selling some.
I feel like me, I could have been like, all right, I'll buy some. And then I'm up $4,000. I'm like, yeah, let's party this weekend. And I sell it.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying if you bought it early... And you're right. You got to hang on for a little while. But
right, that's how you got to tell them. Like, so I don't know what it is.
It's sort of, oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that third word is, you know?
Yeah, I need, like, there, buy, hold, Bitcoin.
Right, but I know.
Buy, Bitcoin, hold.
Right, but there's not.
Yeah, two words is really not enough.
Two words.
I do like the Bitcoin thing. But so then you start thinking about other things to make yourself rich. What could I say in two words? I mean, you could say buy Apple. But, you know, okay, so when do I buy it? You know, if you bought it in the 90s, though, you'd still be making tons
not
of money.
Not if you sold
Microsoft,
it after 3 months.
Not if you sold it, right.
Right, that's the problem. You got to have them hold it.
I wonder if they can see me. You know, can I make a gesture?
Right.
Like, hold it. Make right. a fist like this. Buy Bitcoin.
Right.
Yeah, two words is tough. It's really tough to get a message across in two words. But I like yours. I like buy Bitcoin. I know you're saying hold, but... It's
at least
better
I make
than
some,
nothing.
But I'm like, he's gonna. I know me.
Yeah,
he's gonna sell it at when it's worth $7,000 to go party.
Yeah,
we. Like, oh, damn it.
I have to go back now and look and see you know how quickly it rose or how much you would have made. But even if you bought, if you've been waiting for this thing that doesn't exist and it comes along, maybe you put aside like $500, something like that. Well, in that case, you know, you'd be well off, my friend. Well off. You see those people who got rich on?
I guess you could
crypto.
Say hold Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Hold Bitcoin.
But then they're like, okay, hold Bitcoin. What does that mean? They spend the next 25 years, 30 years?
Well, they know once Bitcoin becomes popular.
Exactly. Once they hear it, they're like, oh, my God. They have all these things in their room with, you know, the string going from this picture to that, trying to figure out what Bitcoin is. And then finally, wasn't it those guys that wanted to start, that sued Zuckerberg and claimed they came up with Facebook? I feel like they were a part of it originally, but I know it was the first crypto that I ever heard of. And I remember thinking,
Bitcoin,
like, this is
Bitcoin HODL.
Bitcoin
HODL,
model.
They could figure that out.
Yeah, that might take
a while. At that point, they're like, what does that mean? But yeah, but I mean, people are talking about it. That's a good one.
Yeah. I like putting Bitcoin in there somewhere. One of the words should be Bitcoin. As a matter of fact, if Bitcoin was two words, I would just say Bitcoin.
Right, yeah,
you know what I mean? That's better than nothing.
Right.
I think that's better than buy Apple, buy
Bitcoin
Microsoft. Bitcoin save, yeah. Bitcoin hold. Yeah, it's just tough because you need a third word.
Right.
Bitcoin don't sell.
Right.
Right?
The Church of Laszlo.
That's it? We're done?
Yeah, we're done.
It was a hell of a show, buddy.
I had fun. You think the Royals might be okay? I haven't talked to you about the Royals in a while, but you know, I've been watching them, and it's not like they're getting crushed or anything, but it just feels like they're on this
I think they're going to be okay.
High wire. You know, it's like they're so close. And then you see these sparks, and you're like, man, there's so many lovable guys on that team and so many guys that can get the job done.
Well, I think,
it's baseball.
Just to break it down super easy, I think Bobby's not playing as well as he can.
Right.
He's doing fine. He's doing well, but he's not being Bobby.
Yeah.
Right? Sal's not being Sal. Vinny's not being Vinny. And, you know, India.
He's getting hurt. And...
Right. So, that said, the pitching has been great.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, like, you know, sabermetrics and things would tell you Salvi's going to turn around at any minute. Hitting the ball with the barrel, hitting it hard, all those things. So those will turn around any minute. Nothing tells me that the other guys won't turn it around. So, you know, Massey has been playing great, but they will. they'll at least be better than what they are now. When that happens, they're going to be fine because the pitching seems to be a really good rotation. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine, but they're a team that really, Mikael Garcia has been really good, but I think he's great. Yeah. That said, it really takes those guys. They have to be playing well.
And isn't it like if one of them gets a spark, if Salvi...
I think good hitting creates good hitting. I think people do that for sure. It's think it's contagious.
Right? Yeah.
I think good play is contagious.
Right. And
but
so
I also think there's other things that are contagious that, bad. Nothing kills like a baseball team than, a couple errors.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... Or the other side of that is... a great play by the other team. It doesn't matter how old they are. I saw my 14-year-old this weekend, they were playing this team. I think, it was a pretty competitive game. They probably were better than them. That other team made three or four, a right fielder at 14 years old, just diving, feet in the air, stretched to catch the ball in the air. A second baseman catching one over his shoulder, and you could just, it was 4-0, and then my, Chacho's team came back, and it's 4-4. And then the other team gets a couple runs. Then it's just deflating.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the wind out of it. And I feel like the Royals are just dealing with a little bit of that. There's an error here. There's a bad play here. Your batters aren't doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But the fact of the matter is the pitching staff's keeping them in it. They're keeping them competitive in that division, and I think they'll be fine.
So what about the...
But I think that division's better than what people think. I think the Guardians are pretty good, and I think the Tigers are pretty good. And I think maybe they have a 10-day road trip coming up. And so, you'll find out.
Well, what about that guy that they signed, the Italian guy, 125 miles off the bat?
Oh, he's in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cags.
Yeah, Cags.
Well, people are, here's the thing, man. Maybe he can do it. There's a guy in Houston, Camp something. Somebody will have to correct me on Twitch, but... I think he played 20 games in the minor leagues, and he's playing now. Juan Soto, the story on him is he gets to the Nationals camp, and they're like, he's got a mattress on the floor, and they're like, oh, we'll get you a bed frame. That'll be uncomfortable. He's like, I ain't going to be here long.
Okay.
And he's in the major leagues at no time. A lot of times, man, it's a hard sport. It really is. It's something, man, guys who are great
grind it
out in the minor leagues. They grind it and grind it and grind it. I think, Cags is, he's one of one.
Yeah.
He could be the guy that comes up here and changes everything, and he's hitting balls 120 miles an hour in the minor leagues, but I would like it better. How about this? I would like it better if they were to call Cags up and be like, hey, man, come and play with us.
Right.
Instead of call him up and be like, you have to be the answer.
Right.
That's more for a guy. If you could just come up and be like, yo, dude, come on up.
Let's give it a try.
We got MJ Melendez is playing great. Hunter Renfroe is playing great. We got you. Don't worry about it. We're going to rotate you in with some of this. Come up here, try to hit the ball, see what's going on. That would be fun for him, I think. If they were like, hey, everybody's struggling at the dish. We're thinking about cutting MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfroe. We're going to put you in right. And tomorrow... you're going to face, Skubal.
Yeah.
The greatest pitcher in the world right now. And then the night after that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll be facing this guy and then this guy and then this guy.
I wish they'd do that.
Wow. That's a lot, right? So I'm a little fearful of bringing him up too early and putting that kind of pressure on him, but I guess maybe some people thrive in that. I would probably wait until you figured out exactly what you're going to do in those positions that are hurting you.
Well, I think they're a fun team to watch. I just look at them and go, they've got what it takes. They just got to do it. But they look like a team that's got what it
takes.
And
I think all those players are going to turn it around. I do. I mean, the ones that you need.
Yeah.
Jonathan, he's been playing pretty good. He's going to get better. I think Salvi's going to do it. I think, I got no reason to believe that Bobby's not going to be, one of the two best players in the world or one of the three best players in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
we'll be fine.
No, I got no reason to believe that Vinny's not going to, be Vinny. So, history tells me that. And then if, you get a Mikel Garcia hitting .286 with 20 home runs, if he can do that, they'll be right there. That's what I think. But, you've also watched a lot of baseball teams. You're like, these guys will turn around. They just don't. But
No.
Baseball's hard.
There's something. I can feel it. Something in the air. They're at least fun to watch. I'm excited. It's full-on baseball season now.
It is. Well, so. Good show, Cags. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.